Tonight I'd like to talk to you about maturing in Christ. You know, in the last part of the 20th century, and now in the first part of the 21st century, they are characterized by rapid change. Increasingly, technological advances are providing instant communication via satellite and instant information stored and transmitted by high-speed computers and cell phones. We are a generation that has come to expect and demand things right now. In fact, have you ever found yourself pacing in front of the microwave because it's too slow? Well, Christians must remember, however, that there is no such thing as instant maturity. In the Christian experience, becoming a Christian begins a lifelong experience and an adventure to know and to love God. So think about what are some of the similarities between physical and spiritual growth and development. I'd like to start off in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and I'm going to paraphrase it. This is, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Father, just praying that you would open our hearts and our minds to what it is you have for us this evening, Father. We pray that you would just be with us now and keep us safe, Father, as we lift up those who are not here, and for whatever reason, Father, and just be with them, bless them, take care of them, and we thank you so much for them all, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, you took your first steps towards maturity, and spiritual maturity, when you put your faith in Christ. That was the beginning, that's when you started. So, got a few verses we can go to. Good thing about them is they're all in the epistles tonight. So let's go to Ephesians to start with, in chapter 4, in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The rest of us are supposed to sit around, listen, and do nothing. No, that's not what it says. But he did that for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. So what does God desire for you? Verse 13 tells us, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Those are the things which God desires in us. Now, what are some of the undesirable, what characterizes a spiritually immature Christian? We go back to verse 14, and it says that we should no longer be, and this is it, children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, if you're immature, you can very be easily tricked and led astray. But yet, what characterizes a spiritually mature Christian, we can see in verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part meaning us, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that is some characteristics of a person who is growing and maturing in Christ. So let's contrast a person's old nature with a Christian's new nature. We go right over there to verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So we can see the old man had deceitful lusts, where the new man is in righteousness. I think that was me when I grabbed it. Yeah. So, that's the difference there. Now, I'd like to say, whose image, into whose image are we being changed? So keep a mark in Ephesians. We'll be going back there. And let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see that we are being changed into God's image. And we can see who brings about that change. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. So how rapidly do you think this change occurs? Right away? No. It takes a while. But the thing is, how complete will that change be when we are changed? Totally. Totally complete. So let's also go to Romans chapter and see what God has to tell us about our relationship in Romans chapter 5. So first we want to look at what has already happened. And this is a verse that's very familiar to many of us. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Past tense, already happened. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So what should we be doing? Well, the next chapter, chapter 6, we can look at verse 19, which tells us, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So right now, that's what we should be doing. We should be presenting ourselves as slaves to righteousness for holiness. And what can you expect in the future? Well, go again over to Romans chapter 8. In verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For as Paul says here, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So that's what we can expect in the future. To be glorified. And to not even worry about what happens here. It's not even in comparison. But now we have to understand that there are three aspects of salvation in Christ. And it's helpful to know what these three aspects are. And the three aspects are justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now, first of all, justification. Justification is past tense. And it means I have been saved from the penalty of sin. So, my position is in Christ. Now, sanctification is present tense, right now. I am being saved from the power of sin. So my condition is becoming like Christ. Whereas glorification is future tense. I will be saved from the presence of sin. So my expectation is to be like Christ. That's the three aspects. So now, the starting point. How did you begin your life in Christ? And how should you continue to grow? We go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that's what our starting point is. Now, building maturity can be the same as like building a building. You have to have a foundation, you have to have materials, and then do the work. So let's look and see what we have for a foundation for a close relationship with God. We're back to Romans 5 again. This time we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. For tribulation produces perseverance, or patience. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And it's not the kind of hope you hear about in the news lately. Yeah. Now, and not only that, but we also have the good hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's our foundation that we can build on. We can put hope in God where it belongs. And that's our foundation. And then, of course, as we're going to continue to build with our list of materials and things we need, what have we already got that we can start this building with? Now we go back to Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 3. And we go on here with a whole list of things that we already have. Verse 3, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure. See, it was his idea, not ours. It was his idea to do that. To the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted and beloved. See, we're already accepted and beloved. He has accepted us. The hard part is, have we accepted him? In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having already made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the true gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Amen. So there's all the things we already have got to start to work and to build with. Once we have that faith in Jesus. Now, the process of growth, where it starts and how it continues. We can go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And right there in verse 2. As newborn babes, when we first start off, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, we have that milk to start off with. Just like a baby, it needs milk to start off to grow. And then, back to Hebrews, chapter 5, we see in verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And there's nothing wrong with them being a babe when they start off. But you don't want to stay there. Because solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we see by reason of use, use this, his word. You have yourself exercised that you can discern both good and evil. Nobody's saying it's not work. It is work. Like you build anything, it's work, and it takes time. So let's quickly go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see where good works fit in the Christian life. This is a verse you should be very familiar with. Chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved, through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You already have it. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So you see, the works has nothing to do with your salvation. We don't do works to gain salvation or to keep salvation. We do works because we are saved. So as you reflect on your life, we should be thankful for all the things that he is doing in you. We should take time to express your gratitude to God for what he has done in your life and for what he is doing in your life and what he will do for you in the future. Because our outer person is like a picture. Our outer person is just the frame. The true picture is what's on the inside. It's the inner person, which God, who is the artist, is still creating and will be creating until the day he takes us home. So as we live and grow into that mature life, who is the Christian's ultimate example? Well, we're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 5. Verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So there we are. We are to be imitators of God. We are to be that sweet sacrifice to God. As Romans 12:1 says, you know, to be a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable duty. Of course, we all know the problem with a living sacrifice. It tends to crawl off of the altar. But don't let that happen to you. Stay close with God. So now, we can see to what extent we should imitate Christ's life. Again, be that sweet sacrifice, that sweet smelling aroma to him. So, as a mature Christian, what should our attitude be? The attitude of a mature Christian can be seen in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 13. As Paul tells the Philippians here, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." So as you're mature and as you study the Word, and you might get one of these crazy ideas, and as long as you stay in the Word, I'm sure God's going to point it out to you that, hey, you made a mistake there. You need to shift gears and go a different route. The closer we get, the more this will be pointed out to us, and the more we will recognize it as we grow. And that's the attitude that we need to have. So now we need to also look at some of the character traits of a mature Christian. And we can do that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance," again patience, "to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love." The agape kind of love, which can overlook a whole lot. And those are the character traits of a mature Christian. But what happens if you don't have these traits? Well, verse 8. "Says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither." In other words, this is what could be if you don't have those traits. "You'll be barren, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." "So therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." That's a promise from God. If you stay true in him, you will never stumble. So now we've looked at what it means to become a mature Christian. Becoming a true Christian a mature Christian started when we first had faith and we first believed in Jesus Christ. Because we want to build that relationship. The same relationship that a child has with their father. We talk to him, and he talks to us. We talk to him through prayer. He talks to us through his word. How many times have you ever read a Bible passage, and then again you've read that Bible passage, and maybe the sixth or seventh time you read that Bible passage, you see something in it you never saw before? Ever happened to any of you? I know it's happened to me. And then you stop and think, well, why didn't I see that earlier? But then if you take time to stop and realize that what was going on in my life at that time, if I would have saw that then, would I have accepted it? Or would I have taken it out of context and done something different? It just shows how we can grow and mature. So, God intends us to mature and to become like Jesus. God has saved us from the penalty of sin. And we are presently engaged in a conflict with sin because it's still out there and still around us and still tempting us. But we can anticipate a future with Christ completely free from sin. And we saw that our starting point was the faith in Jesus Christ. It marked the beginning of our Christian growth. And we saw all the resources we have available to help us to grow. And we see that the process of growing is similar to physical growth. It takes time as God works in our lives. And then when we get towards a mature life, we find that growing in Christ is similar to walking, following Christ's example and led by the Holy Spirit. We are to walk in fellowship with Jesus in faith and love. A mature Christian is one who continues to follow Christ, abounding in his work and experiencing his grace and love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We ask, Father, that you be with us now, and we ask that you see us home safely this evening. For we thank you for this time we got to spend with you and the fellowship that we have with each other. As we thank you, we praise you, and again, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.